G'day everyone, Tuesday, May 24, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever you're listening. And overnight, well, Rafael Nadal is through to the second round of the French Open in his quest for a 14th French Open title. He beat Aussie Jordan Thompson in straight sets. Plenty of results will churn through throughout the morning, and we're starting to get, well, a bit close to origin, aren't we? And the team, well, the New South Wales side to be announced on Sunday evening, and all of a sudden the market's tightened up with Tab 2 for Origin 1. New South Wales $1.52, Queensland $2.55. New South Wales will need new centres. Brad Fittler on Sunday on 9, he conceded that they'll have to play very differently this year from what they did last year without Latrell Mitchell and Tom Trbojevic in the centres. And yesterday it was confirmed that Trbojevic definitely needs surgery. He got a couple of opinions from doctors and surgeons, and out for 5 months. So a huge blow, not only, of course, to Manly, but to New South Wales as well. Morning to you, Pup. Morning, Loz. Turbo, the news that I guess we probably expected, but such a shame for him.
It is a big shame, you know. It's a big shame for Manly, but New South Wales and Australia have got a World Cup at the end of the season, so it looks like he'll miss that as well. It'd be pretty game to rush him into that squad, having played no football this season. But there goes Manly's chances of winning a competition, I would suggest, this season. Still a chance of making the top eight. They've still got enough cattle there, but I doubt when they get to the bigger semi-final games that they could go on and win a grand final without him. And that's a real shame, because he tore the competition up last year. He was the best player in the competition. I think he only played 15 games, but all those 15 games he made an impact. So Manly would be disappointed that he's going to miss out. State of Origin selection's only, what, 5-6 days away. We'll talk a bit about Origin after 6 o'clock, but it's exciting times for some of those young guys that'll get an opportunity. I'm sure, you know, New South Wales would have loved to have had Tom around with Latrell Mitchell, but they are in a fortunate position. They've got a lot of good centres to choose from, and it's quite hard to actually, you know, work out what your centre combination will be. You know, when you look at the likes of Crichton, Burton, Staggs, Lomax, Campbell Graham, there's some exciting talent there, and you know they'll be given an opportunity, two of those guys, and I'm sure they'll grab it with both hands. But yeah, looking forward to the Origin series. Queensland themselves are starting to look a bit more threatening than what they were last year. I think when you look at it, you know, with the Queensland sides doing a lot better, they're in form, a lot of their players, they'll go into this series a bit more confident. I think last year was always going to be a tough ask. They had plenty of injury concerns themselves, and, you know, the Broncos were playing ordinary, the Cowboys were very ordinary, and, you know, they really struggled in those Origin games, in particular games 1 and 2. They ended up winning game 3 at the Gold Coast, but you know, the damage was done up there in Townsville and Suncorp Stadium early in the series. But I think it'll be a tighter series. I don't think, you know, any team will win 3-0. I think it'll be a 2-1 series, and depending on who you like, that's the suggested play I would have. I would think the series will be 2-1. I can't remember the last time it was 3-0. Would have been back in 2015, 16, something like that. But it's certainly been quite a long time.
Yeah. Morning to you, Pup.
Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners.
Starting to get a bit nervous about Queensland's chances this Origin series. Well,
you blokes have been listening to Freddie Fittler for too long. Like, Freddie's the coach. He's got to play New South Wales down. Like, that's smart by him. But you two, come on.
Yeah, I think
Queensland are a lot stronger this year than what they were 100%. The last couple of years. I really do. I think without Turbo and without Latrell, it evens things up a bit. Even though, you know, Crichton and Staggs and Burton or Lomax, depending on who
I'm
they
saying
go
2-1
with.
Worst case scenario, New South Wales. I'm very confident. I still think, that's what I was saying the other day, I still think our squad on paper, or our options on paper, is, I think, much stronger than Queensland. I don't disagree that Queensland are better than what they were, especially 2 years ago, but I think, again, if you're picking the Australian team, I reckon more than half are getting picked from New South Wales.
Put it this way.
Three quarters.
If they win one of the first two games, we'll be very nervous going up there for game 3. We want to be 2-0 up heading to Brisbane for game 3. So we've got Sydney, Perth, Brisbane.
I think we'll be okay here in Sydney. I think game 1 will be okay. Yeah, track record in Sydney is okay. But yeah, Perth, last time we went to Perth, we won pretty convincingly.
Tom Trbojevic played outstanding.
Yeah.
But it just gives some, like in that sport at that level, it just gives somebody else an opportunity. I know Tommy T's a genius, right? But mate, you have a look through that team. There's so many superstars. All it means is it allows somebody else the opportunity to stand up and be MVP. That's the way I see it. Like, look at, take your pick. In that New South Wales team, there's a lot of quality. A lot of quality.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt there, but I just think that Queensland have got some quality themselves, and the fact that they're playing, look, they feel a bit more confident going into Origin, I would think, if they get the team that you know, that would have Ponga in there, Munster, Cherry Evans, Harry Grant. I think they've got a bit more strike power and a bit more confidence in them this year compared to maybe the last two.
You mentioned it at the top there, Loz, with Tommy Trbojevic, yeah, almost certainly out of the World Cup too. Huge blow for the Kangaroos.
Oh, most definitely. Anytime you take a player of Tom's class out of any team, it's going to affect you. And, you know, again, you're quite lucky that you've got a lot of depth in the, you know, outside backs. But, you know, Tommy T is a very special player. We saw last year what he was able to do. He'd be a shoo-in for that squad, as he would be for New South Wales. So it does weaken the Kangaroos. It weakens New South Wales. Certainly weakens Manly. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, when he's in form and he's confident, he's unstoppable. And the other thing with Tommy, not only on the ground is he very good, but in the air, you know, his aerial threat. You know, last year he bobbed up everywhere on the paddock, but he was also good under the high ball. They just put the ball and get the fullback standing still. And, you know, if you're a fullback standing still and you've got Tom Trbojevic coming at you and he can leap and catch, and, you know, it was always guaranteed that he was going to, at some stage, maybe score a try for kick. So they haven't got that sort of threat there with him not being there. But, yeah, no, it looks as though it's going to be a tighter series for mine. New South Wales have the advantage in game one, certainly being down here in Sydney, and they'd want to get off to a good start.
$1.52 with Tab, the Blues for game one. Queensland, $2.55. And New South Wales, I'm sure about 2 weeks ago, were $1.33.
I think the main thing for us, our spine doesn't change. At this touch wood, with no more injuries. Like, we haven't lost 9, 6, 7, 1.
No, that's an advantage.
You know, so, again, you look at the way we played the last couple of years, same players. Yeah, I know you got that brilliance of Latrell and Tommy T, but the other thing as well, last couple of years we've spoken about, do you pick legitimate centres or do you just pick your best players? Like, again, Latrell and Tommy T, both playing fullback for their clubs, yet they're good enough to play in the centres, yet now New South Wales might have to pick specialist centres. That's not a bad thing either, you know. It's been spoken about the last few years, have we made the right decision anyway?
No, and so, the centres are all in form, and you could argue that, you know, like your back of the field is where you need to get it right, and, you know, you've got two specialist wingers there in Addo Carr and Brian To'o, you know. And those other centres that come in, they're all very good at the back of the field with their strong carries. They've got a bit of brilliance in them as well.
Does it change your bench? The fact you've got it, if New South Wales now go to specialist centres, does that affect particularly your 14 or no, doesn't really change anything?
Well, your 14 is it's a hard
one-stop shop, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to be able to fill in a lot of different positions. You know, you've got to be able to fill in as a half, you've got to be able to fill in as a hooker or have someone there that can move into hooker.
If you're picking your 14 today,
yeah,
who are you going for? Because it's a tough selection.
Well, Loz is going to pick his team on the BSB countdown later this morning. Good tease, Clarky.
Just give us your 14.
Be patient.
Not my strength.
So Loz is going to pick his team for us after 6 o'clock this morning. Just on the World Cup, Loz, so is it... Are you getting to a point now where the selectors are just, you know, having little phone hookups every so often, or you'll wait till later in the year?
It's too far out. Yeah. I mean, after Origin, you'll certainly speak. I think Origin will play an important role in what the squad may look like.
Well, I think
I think you'd look and take into account how well people play in Origin.
That's great. That's old school how the Australian side was selected,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Well, that's the way I'm thinking. Yeah. And then again, you know, you want to hold that form going into the back of the season, and you want to hope that your team makes semi-finals. But even if you don't make semi-finals and you're a standout at Origin level, that will hold a lot of weight with World Cup selection.
Mm. Look at one position, for instance. Well, two. The 7 and the 9. Cleary v. Cherry Evans and Cook v. Grant. Origin's
seven,
got a touch.
7's a no-brainer.
When he's, I agree with
Cleary's
you.
Cleary's definitely the Australian number 7.
Some people north of the border would say otherwise.
No way. No comparison.
But Cook v. Grant, that could very well come down to Origin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got finals footy at the end of this season as well, which will play a part. I mean, if you're a standout in the finals and you've played well in Origin, well, obviously you go to the front of the queue. But, I think Origin, when you look at it on face value, if you can play well in an Origin series, then that, again, will have you in the discussion of making an Australian team.
Michael on the text lines with you, pup. You're spot on. That's how I see it as well. New South Wales, too good. Morning, boys. Middo, the Blues have the Penrith connection, plus their spine with Penny's halves, Teddy and Cookie, still good in my book. I really think 3-0 is
you might just
still
see Tedesco stand up, I reckon, big time this series. I reckon you might just see him.
When does he not?
Oh, he's been good. Yep. Even the last couple of years, I think he's been tremendous for New South Wales.
Hambone at Queensland on the text line. The Queensland listeners is getting a little bit chippy here. Morning, boys. What doco are the New South Wales pretty boys shooting this year, Middo? The poor Blues have only got 20 times more players to choose from this year. It's such a hard luck story, says Hambone. Well, the headline in the Herald today, who do you think you are picking, Mr. Fittler? And going through the possibilities, who's likely, who's safe, and who's fighting for their spot in the New South Wales side. The forwards is interesting, Lozza, when you look at, Jake Trbojevic, Angus Crichton, Tarek Sims, Daniel Saifidi, Tyson Frizzell. They're probably those sort of players who will be potentially, if they make it, they'd be scrambling to make it, you would think.
Oh, not all of them will make it. I think you'll have to pick a couple of them, though. I think that he will reward a couple of those players that were so good for him last year. Guys like, Tarek Sims, Angus Crichton, you could argue they're not playing their best football, but I tell you what, every time they seem to pull on a New South Wales jersey, Sims in particular, he tends to go all right. So I reckon that'll carry a bit of weight. It's not as though you've got other players there that are knocking down the door. You've got Cam Murray that's been out injured, but I think we all agree that if Cam gets back this weekend, you've got to find a spot for him somewhere. You've got a guy like Liam Martin at Penrith who's playing terrific football, so he'll be in the equation. Possibly, a Crichton or a Sims they will go for, just off the back of what they've done in the past.
And Brad from Broadbeach says, morning, boys, the major X factors and strike power in the last 2 years, Origin, with Latrell and Tommy T, believe me, with them out, it brings Queensland right into this series, says Brad at Broadbeach. And I believe they're picking squads of 22 to start off with as
extended
well.
Squad with COVID and what can happen during a camp. So I think they will announce a squad. We're unsure of whether they'll announce the team straight away. They might wait until a little bit later into the week, but they'll pick an extended squad. And I'm expecting probably all those guys that you mentioned, even a guy like Daniel Saifidi, who hasn't been in great form, to be a part of that extended squad.
I don't need Wayne. Demetrio says, Rabbitohs require bodies, not Bennett. And in the Herald as well, look at who's still to come back. Why Rabbitohs fans shouldn't stress just yet. So, as Loz mentioned, Cam Murray, not only a boost for the Blues, potentially, certainly for Souths, if he returns after he had some shoulder surgery recently. So they got the Tigers this week. And Latrell Mitchell expected back round 14. So that's not too far away.
What are we into? Round 12. So he's still over in America. He comes back and hopefully that's been able to fix all his problems, because you don't want to have ongoing issues with your hamstring. And I think that's the concern, and that's the reason why they sent him over there, is to make sure that this is not ongoing. And they need Latrell back into that team. Cam Murray's been a massive loss for them. They've lost more games than they lost last season. They're under the pump at this stage. you know, they're just not playing confidently, but they're turning the ball over and making the same errors week in, week out. And that's an area that they've identified, but they haven't been able to fix it. So you've got to then start to work out, why haven't they fixed it? You know, are they, well, what's the reason? You know, why you keep talking about your possession count and turnovers and ill discipline? You've identified the problem. What is it, though, you can't fix? Because that's the problem with South at the moment. They've identified the problem, but they can't fix it. So for me, that's a worry.
Here you go, Clarkie. In the Australian today, Cody's tears after making Aussie swim team.
And I saw that footage on Fox. Good on him.
It was cute, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, just got an opportunity to represent Australia. What a dream for him as well. Like, the last 2 years, what a journey to get this opportunity. So, no, good on him. Very happy for him. Yeah, and the actual the footage is quite cool, I reckon. The fact he actually must get a text message and sees that he has been selected in the Commonwealth Games team, and that's what he finds out, and there's obviously a camera on him at the time, and you can see the emotion. He's just super pumped. So, not happy for him. Hope he does well.
And Kyle Chalmers wasn't happy about how everything was reported this week and just said, look, I didn't expect to swim as well as I did. That's why he ended up going to the World Championships, and therefore he didn't end up physically turning up to the Australian swim team announcement. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, the one positive out of all this is,
We're talking swimming. Yeah, but this is the thing as well, right? When if you haven't experienced this before, it's a horrible feeling. You know, if you haven't had your personal life spread all over or spoken about throughout the media, it's a disgusting feeling. And you actually do. You want to run away and hide. You're just so embarrassed. And, you know, you got your family and your friends ringing to check you're okay, or is this true? Is this not true? And again, everyone's different. Some people are believing everything they read in the paper. For him, or for all everyone involved, again, we would have no idea, but I have no idea the two boys would have probably spoken and said, seriously, this is an absolute load of rubbish. Let's just, you know, don't worry about it. And then it kept growing and growing and growing. And that's why both of them now have done media to make it very clear that everything's fine and there's no beef here. So, you know, and, you know, I've sat here laughing, joking about it as well, because it is, it's in the media, and I know what that feeling's like. But I also know sometimes how you can, it hits you quite hard. So, yeah, as much as we are talking about swimming, you hope both or all three of them are actually okay and not taking it, you know, too much to heart, and doesn't affect their swimming, and, you know, doesn't affect their friendship and relationship. Because, again, like all sporting teams, these two guys are going to, if they're both, you know, what are they both, go Com Games, both go to the Olympics, you know, at World Champs, whatever it is, you're going to spend a lot of time with each other. The last thing you want is the media stirring stuff bad enough that it does cause, you know, a riff in that swimming group. That's the last thing we need.
Also, back page of the Australian today, AFL is embarrassing umpires, Shaw. And this is Tony Shaw talking about, well, I made it my villain yesterday, the over-the-top umpiring in the AFL at the moment. Loz, you've always been an AFL. What have you watched much in recent times? Because I've always watched a fair bit of AFL. I've never watched less due to just the fact the physical element of the game is being whittled away by the umpiring.
It's a 50-metre penalty for
them. Yeah, they have, but the players certainly stage as well. But the frustrating one for me is when you can't show any emotion now when the referee gives you a penalty against you. Like, you just shrug your shoulders. It's a 50-metre penalty. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And any time, you know, there looks as though, you know, this contact, you know, shoulder or above, they crack down hard on it. And then when they slow it down and you see the replay, you see the player just throwing his head back and staging for the penalty. So they've got a bit to blame for as well. But look, from what I've seen this year, they're not happy with it. The AFL fans, AFL commentators, and I'm assuming the players wouldn't be happy with it as well.
Nah, it's rubbish. It's been...
Is this exactly what the NRL did, though? Like, they went too extreme on the high tackles and that, and what the AFL did?
Yeah, then they recalibrated.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They'll bring it back. Is that what the AFL's
trying to do? I don't think they will with the umpiring.
You reckon? No. Stay like this the whole time?
I think so. They might crack down, ease off a little bit on, you know, guys when they go in and they do that acting where they throw their head back as if they've been, you know, knocked out of the contest and been hit high. But I think with the, you know, shrugging of the shoulders and dissent I don't think that is going to change anytime soon. They look like they're going to stick with it, and they don't care.
Well, Gillon McLachlan's already doubled down in regards to the dissent 50-metre penalties, which are being handed out left, right and centre. No JR today. She's got the day off. She'll be back tomorrow. It is 6 o'clock. And give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. How's this for a bad beat? I've just found in a note from our traders at Tab over the weekend. Well, this is from last Thursday night. One Tab customer had $10,000 on the under in the Newcastle-Brisbane game. $10,000 at $1.30, under 46.5 points. With 15 minutes to go, it's 14-12. There were four tries, but what did this punter was Herbie Farnworth scored an intercept try as the
right
clock
at the
ticked 80. Well, the siren sounded, which made it, well, end up 36-12, 48 points, and had the under 46.5. Do you give it away at that point? I mean, that is...
Well, you're counting the cash, aren't you?
That is... That keeps you up at night.
It does, Mitter. And we've heard that many stories like that in all forms of gambling, just at the last moment when you think you're home. That's why you never go the early crow.
You never go the early crow.
Deary. And that's why I hate telling people what I'm on or what I've done. Because I know that someone will death ride me, and I know that someone will go that early crow. And if they do, invariably, you end up losing.
You're happy to go to the early crow for them, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. But I don't tell people what I'm doing because I don't want them to ruin my bet.
Gosh.
Is that selfish?
No, absolutely. But that's what we do.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do.
Mm. Penrith
take short. Great joy and delight in doing it too, to some people.
I bet you do. Your neighbour, do you ever do it to him?
Oh, I love doing it to him all the time. He's a pest.
He just gets you back by just getting a hold of your phone, though.
He got me again the other day. But anyway.
No chicken shops for sale?
No.
He needing just, money off people? Or
no, he just sent a message to Mal about the Titans.
Oh, that would have went down well. My God.
I saw actually.
Sitting here watching the Titans, mate, you're crap. Got something like that.
From you,
well,
from
it was
your
a couple
phone.
Of weeks ago. It was like, for me.
What was Mal's reply?
Well, it was like, mate, let Brimson, can speak to Brimson for you if you want? Like, it was just, mate.
Do you reckon Mal knows it's not from you?
I hope so, because I text him straight away. I said, mate, this is not me. No response.
Good. I saw on the Matty John show actually the other night.
<That's> brilliant.
On the Matty John show, obviously with the election theme, they were showing players and people around sport who had a tilt in politics, and of course they showed just the end of Mal's clip, and Matty comes on and goes, I told the producer not to put him.
Matty knows. You never bring that one up. I'll tell you what, though. I've always thought that was funny, but the Billy Brownless one, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's just stunned old Billy. He's got no answer to the question. Yep, I'll look at that.
Gonna have to look at that again in the break. Coming up this weekend, I'll give you the markets for round 12 and some of these games. Well, unfortunately, again, Penrith, I'll tell you what, they've had some luck. They're into $2.60 to win the comp with Tab Penrith. Gee, that's short, isn't it? Well, we're just not quite at the halfway point of the season.
That's short, Mitta.
They've got a blockbuster game. Well, we thought it would be a blockbuster game against the Cowboys. They've got a couple of key injuries, though, the Cowboys. Jason Taumalolo, he suffered a knee injury. He's out for probably a fortnight. And Kyle Felt has an MCL tear. So he's out for up to 6 weeks. But particularly the loss of Taumalolo against a team like the Panthers is a massive blow for them. But the Panthers got the Storm when they were missing those key players, Hughes and Pappenhausen, of course. And now it looks like they're going to get a bit of a leg up with the Cowboys missing a couple of key players. But that's rugby league.
That is, Bido, and you've got to just take advantage of it when the opposition have got their best players missing. You know, unfortunately, we want to see everyone on the park, and you want to see the best teams play each other, but invariably that doesn't happen. But you get to the end of the season, You know, if you can knock off a Panthers when you're under strength, that'll give you more confidence when you play them at the back end of the year. So it's a big challenge for the Cowboys to come down here to Penrith. Obviously, it'll be a sold-out stadium. Royce's big walk as well, Royce. So there'll be a lot of emotion in that stadium. But Penrith, they want to make sure they bank up wins between now and next, now and Origin, because of the fact that they're going to have so many players involved. And we saw last year after Origin, during Origin, they got so many injuries and they limped through to the grand final. You know, they weren't at their attacking best at the end of last year, but they were gutsy Penrith. I think a lot of people thought, and I certainly did, thought they were out of juice. But they just hung in there, won games, and they won tight games. And then they got the premiership, what they're after. So that may unfold again. You just don't know. But you sit here now and you look at them and go, wow, if they're healthy and they've got everyone on the paddock, they're going to be tough to beat.
This is exactly why we said last week, you can't pick your grand final right now. There's so much footy to be played.
So many variables.
And tough footy. We're already talking about, you know, some major players being out for the season. So, you know, you go through the Origin. What if Penrith lose Cleary? Again, touch wood. Or, you know, if they're going to have six players in this Origin team, they lose a couple of those. They're a different team.
Then you get fatigued at the back end of the year too when you're playing Origin. So, and obviously Ivan will, you know, rest those players and, you know, be able to time it well so they freshen up before for the finals. But they're in a good position. I mean, when you've got so many players in State of Origin, you need to start the year off because you know you're going to have a bit of a flat spot. You know you're going to have missed players with injuries. You're going to be up and down with selections. You know, you'll lose your way a little bit. Everyone loses their way at some stage during the year, and you don't want to lose it at the back end when you're heading into the finals. You need to lose it, you know, around this period's not a bad
time
for them.
What stage do you find your way? 42, 43?
Hopefully.
No, you never
mature. We're banking on it.
You're never mature.
I'm looking hard to find it, Loz. I'm not having any joy at this stage.
Yeah, you look at Penrith in that final series last year, what they beat. Parramatta 8-6, Melbourne 10-6, and South 14-12 to win the comp.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, we've praised their attack, haven't we?
Their defence is as good as anyone's. But that's the way they did. They did it differently last year. They didn't blow teams off the paddock. And we know Penrith is this wonderful attacking outfit that just get into their system so well. They don't miss a beat. Everyone knows their roles to perfection, and they execute under pressure. Last year, they had to do it in a different way, and they were aggressive. They were out on their feet, but they hung tough, and they just hung in there, and grabbed the momentum, and were able to, you know, pounce, you know, when it was required. But they didn't do it with their brilliance. They just did it with their toughness and their mental fortitude.
Round 12, Melbourne $1.17, Manly $5, Penrith $1.26 against the Cowboys $3.90. Friday night, Brisbane or Queensland Derby, Brisbane $1.30 against the Titans, $3.50. The Warriors favourites against the Knights, $1.65, Newcastle, $2.25. Souths $1.42, favourites against the Tigers, $2.90. Maybe some value there, pup.
Go the Tigers.
Cronulla $1.77 against the Roosters, $2.05. And then we go to the Bulldogs, $2.50 against the Dragons, $1.53. And the Raiders are at $2.60 at home Sunday afternoon, looking for four in a row against Parramatta, $1.50. And we'll speak to Clint Gutherson, the Eels co-captain, just after 7 o'clock this morning. We've got on the line Psycho Bunny. Morning to you.
How you going, fellas?
Very well, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, just on my way home. Nice work.
What have you got for us this morning?
Mate, I want to ask Loz, that rule that they've come back with Ponga when he juggled the ball and was like simultaneously put it down, they come back and said, if you drop the ball in the air even before you hit the ground, it's a knock on. So does that mean if you get a pass come out and you bobble it forward, catch it, it's a knock on? Is that the new rule?
Yeah, gag eyes one. They're saying that you've got to re-grip the ball. But you know what, Psycho Bunny? And I watched a game on the weekend. It was the Raiders, in fact. I think it was Tomoko scored. I thought he did exactly what gag eye did in the game on Thursday night, where he lost the sort of ball and then didn't re-grip it and grounded it, but they awarded it a try. I was expecting it to get taken off the Raiders on the weekend.
I'm amazed how many times they'll make a rule and then only have it for a certain amount of teams, let other teams get away with it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I get frustrated too. And the other one we spoke about yesterday, and one of our listeners texted in after it, it was when Mitch Moses got sin-binned on the weekend. I don't know how long they've been doing this, but they went back two plays to sin-bin him for holding someone back.
It was Turbo.
Turbo made a break, and he sort of grabbed hold of him.
Yeah.
Only play just. Continued. He only just grabbed him.
Then two plays happened, and then it broke down Manly's attack, and then they awarded Manly the penalty, but then they sent him to the sin bin.
Yeah. It was two. It might even been three plays. We watched it in here yesterday. It was on the screen. It was at least two, maybe even three plays.
Yeah, they went back too far. If you miss it, you miss it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even sure it was a sin bin anyway. He only just nicked
Possibly not, but I just couldn't believe that one. And I thought, well, how long's that been going on?
Yeah.
So there are some rules that frustrate us all. But on that one, if you lose it, you've got to re-grip it. They say what they call re-grip, so your fingers and hand have to be in control of the ball. But I thought there was one on the weekend with the young Raiders centre who lost the ball and didn't re-grip it, grounded it, and it was awarded a try. Because I was sitting there at home thinking, oh, this is going to be taken away from us.
The other thing, again, I reckon that one is a good example of slow motion replay makes it look worse than actually what it is when you watch it live. When you watch it live, it's a no-brainer, I reckon.
Yeah.
You slow it down and you look for a reason to disallow the try, you'll find it.
Yeah.
And that one, I reckon, is a great example. Like I've said to you about the catches.
Yeah.
When you slow it down because you got the speed of a ball hitting your hand has to give with the ball, you catch it on the grass. Of course, there's going to be indent in the grass. The power of the board hitting your hand pushes your hand hands into in the grass.
And you can make a case for it not
exactly
being
right.
a catch.
No, not,
being
I reckon,
a catch.
No,
not being
not,
a catch.
90% of the time, if a catch goes to the third umpire, it's given not out because of that. Because slow it down. But I'm telling you, 90% of the time, the fieldsman, you watch his reaction.
You know.
He throws it up. Yeah. He knows he got his hand under the ball.
Yeah.
You know, but slow it down and look for a reason to give it not out, you'll find it.
Yeah. And that's what happens. I reckon tries, when you look at them in real time, you can't tell.
Yeah.
But when you slow it down and there's a little bit of separation there, that's when you go, oh, that's a no try. But in real time, it's a try every day of the week.
That one there, I reckon, was definitely a try.
Yeah, no, I totally
nice
agree with you.
Cost one there, I reckon.
Good on you, Psycho Bunny. Thanks for the call. We're going to go over to the States after the break and speak to, well, a Major League Baseball analyst, Chris Young, who spent 13 years in the majors himself. Looking forward to chatting to him next. Well, today in your tab venues, so you can catch Major League Baseball, the Cubs and the Reds, and the market's tight on that one. The Cubs $1.77, Cincinnati $2.10. Also, a little bit later as well, you've got the Mets and the Giants as well. And joining us now, 13 years in the majors, Major League Baseball Network analyst. And in his day, he played for Arizona, Oakland, the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox and the Angels as well. Chris Young joining us. Chris, hello, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. What time is it there?
It is 20 past 6 in the morning. So there you go.
Nice. Very nice.
Just when I was sort of rattling off the teams you played for, Chris, in our competition over here, the National Rugby League, we're sort of debating whether we should have a transfer window and a trade period. I mean, give us an indication of what happens and how...
When you get traded.
Yeah, when you get traded in the Major League and how, I guess, cutthroat and how instant it occurs.
Oh, it happens right away. A lot of times you see guys, they'll get traded to the team that they're playing against. So it's a lot of guys that you'll see, they get traded and they just have to swap over to the other clubhouse and then play against their former team. But, I mean, I was traded a couple times over my career, and playing for the Yankees and for the Red Sox back-to-back seasons, that was always a fun experience for me because I went from being a fan favorite to one of the most hated players. It's a matter of a day or two.
Chris, how do you build then as the player, as the athlete, how do you build the loyalty to your team? Because again, if you know that, you know, there's a chance you're going to be traded, how does it not be, an individual sport rather than a team sport?
I think the players understand the business side of things, yeah. but they choose not to approach it in that manner because every player wants to be a good teammate and every player wants to win.
Yeah.
So if you're playing with a team, the goal is still to win the World Series. So as long as you get a clubhouse full of guys that understand the long-term goal of the team, you don't get too wrapped up in wondering, you know, what the team is going to do with you as a player because you learn over time that you have no control over that. So while you're playing the game, that's baseball's hard enough as it is. I mean, you can't try to focus on what the team is going to do with you. You just have to continue to go out there and show up and do your best while you're out there.
One of the big franchises, the New York Yankees, look as though they've started the season off well.
Oh, yeah, they look real good. Going into the season, they have a slightly older team, I guess, as today's game goes, because a lot of players you see are 19, 20, 21 years old. The Yankees are one of the older teams in the league with a lot of veteran players. And a lot of people had concerns going into the season that they would have a lot of injuries and they wouldn't be able to hold up. But their guys are holding up well and playing good, great baseball. Their offense is one of the best in baseball. You have superstars like Aaron Judge having a career season. And they're a fun team to watch.
Staying in New York, and the Mets will pitch a Max Scherzer. He's out for some weeks with injury, but they seem to be faring pretty well as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have told me early in the season that, you know, Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom could potentially be out for a significant time during the season, you would assume that they wouldn't have had a chance, but they've shown a lot of depth with their signing of Bassett and guys coming back on bounce-back years like Carlos Carrasco and Taijuan Walker's playing really good this year. And they signed a lot of guys. They have a great offense as well. So even while those guys are out, the superstars and Scherzer and DeGrom, I think they have enough depth in their pitching staff to keep up, and their offense is one of the best in the National League to where I think they'll be able to carry their weight.
Give us an idea, Chris, of for us in Australia, don't see much baseball. The Mets and the Yankees, they play in, one's in the American League, one's in the National League. But how, for instance, what are the difference in the fan bases between the two clubs?
Oh, very different. I mean, they're both very passionate fan bases, I must say. But you have the Mets, who are in one part of New York and Queens, and then you have the Yankees, who are in the Bronx. And they're not too far away from each other, but they're very different fan bases. I think the Yankees, they have a lot more winning championships under their belt. So it's a lot more pressure, I think, on the Yankee players to expect a World Series. Although neither team has had a World Series in a while, the Yankees fans expect a World Series, and the Mets fans are just continue to wait because they haven't won one since the mid-1980s.
Chris, how's our mate Liam Hendricks going, buddy?
Oh, one of my favorite guys in the game to face. He always comes with, he has the most energy of any closer in the game today. When he's on the mound, he's out there yelling at himself and having fun playing the game, and he's just the ultimate competitor. I actually played with a couple Australian guys coming up through the minor leagues and the major leagues, Thomas Bryce, Trent Olchin, and then playing against Liam Hendricks. I always like to have a couple Aussies on my team if I can. They're always great guys.
Is there any team that surprised you so far this year, Chris?
I would say, if I'm looking at the teams, the Twins, I would say, are surprising me. They're leading the Central right now. The White Sox are in second place. The Twins have a young pitching staff, so it was a lot of question in the air about how they would show up this year, but Byron Buxton is showing that he's one of the better players in baseball right now, and he's carrying that offense, and those young pitchers are pitching well.
And we've got a text here from one of our listeners, Azza, who asked just on Liam Hendricks then, what are the White Sox chances of getting to the World Series? And does Chris think the Brewers could be a dark horse to go all the way?
I would say with the White Sox, to answer the first question, they just won 2 out of 2 against the Yankees. And they had a doubleheader yesterday, and they were able to win both games. They had a little benches clearing situation going on, and I think the White Sox are fired up right now. They have a great offense, and guys like Giolito and Cease, I think they'll find their way to creep back atop the Central, and I still think they'll win that division. And the Brewers, with their pitching staff, you can never count them out. Last year, they had one of the better staffs in baseball, and it's going to be argued that their staff's even better this year. So I don't think it would be a bad bet to go with the Brewers as well.
Great stuff. Chris, we really appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Chris
Good
Young.
Morning.
No, thanks so much, Chris Young, Major League Baseball analyst, and as well as being able to watch every game live in the Tab app and select games in venue, you can also catch Chris Young and his expert commentary on Apple TV games at the end of every week as well. News is next. The things we learn about each other during the news breaks here on the Big Sports Breakfast, and Pups just informed us, Loz, that he threw the first pitch in a major league
pitch
game.
In a major
did we
league
know
game?
About this?
No,
did
we
this
didn't.
End up on TV back here?
I don't know. I can't ever remember it until he just mentioned it, but it was a pitch in the St. Louis game.
I'm just munching on my apple, I'm sorry. St. Louis Cardinals versus Yankees. Yeah, I was
in
over
St.
There.
Louis.
In St. Louis, yeah. I threw the first pitch.
It's a proper American city.
Yeah.
They're in the Midwest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a, excuse me, I had a sponsorship deal with a company that's called Rawlings. They make the gloves, the mitts. So we made a cricket glove. Because all of our training with the Australian team was like your warm up, you'd catch with a glove on. So yeah, we made a glove and they flew me over there and yeah,
had to do the pitch.
A couple of weeks over there and had a ball. You went and saw the gloves get made and we designed a glove more specific for cricket, which obviously didn't need to be as big as a full size baseball glove. Played around, it was awesome. And then yeah, I went to a couple of games and got to throw the first pitch. So
you know, obviously one of the great fieldsmen for Australia, but was there a hint of nerves? Just don't stuff this up, for goodness sake. End up a YouTube moment like many do.
I was embarrassed. No one over there had any idea about cricket, and then they made it like it was full house, and they were like talking on the sound star, Michael Clark, Australian cricketer, blah, 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 mate. And they would have been going, who? Get him off, mate. Who cares? Sit down, youngster. So it was more embarrassed than anything else, but anyway, I can say through the first pitch.
Not many people
so.
Have got the opportunity to do that.
Mm. Got my jersey. Gave me a jersey with 23 on the back. Got that somewhere at home, I'm sure.
Well, there you go.
If we can pull that out in your 40 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll play baseball in the house instead of cricket.
Okay. The highly anticipated BSB countdown is next. New South Wales' greatest, Laurie Daly, is set to pick his Origin 1 team for the BSB countdown today.
Fair, cool. I don't know why you're shaking. You're top three.
Well, the great Phil Gould.
Definitely top three.
New South Wales' greatest ever player.
I reckon that's fair call too.
Leave me out
In
of
fact,
that,
I was with a group of people the other day with the Immortal chat came up, and certainly his name was amongst it.
Do you want me to speak?
Yeah, you can speak. You, puppy,
away you go. Inducted into immortality, I'll do your speech for you.
Rightio, boys. Here we go. Origin 1 is to be selected on Sunday night.
I've seen it sitting there on the table, and I haven't looked at it because I'm very interested, certainly in a couple of positions here.
Right, yeah.
So I want to know, did you think about this? Because this is going to make the press, obviously, right? If you're going to announce something like this, it's paper tomorrow. How much prep goes in? Do you have to?
There's some positions you don't even have to think about.
No brainers.
You just go, mate, they're in.
Yep.
They're in. And then there's others that you think about and you go, ooh,
will
I go for him or go for this bloke? So one centre position was hard.
Yep.
Back row was a little bit tough. And then just to get that 14.
I'm interested in that. Mm. I'm interested in how much loyalty you're showing to the boys that performed well last year in Origin, but aren't playing their best club footy at the moment.
Righty, yeah.
Sorry for holding you up.
That's all right, Pumper. Here we go. All right. I think it's a no-brainer. Tedesco at fullback and captain. The wingers pick themselves, Addo Carr and Brian To'o.
Yep.
Centres. This is where I struggled because Crichton will definitely be one and I would place him with To'o. So I'll leave that combination
yep.
together.
Smart.
And then I wanted to find a position for Matt Burton.
You like Burton a lot.
So I've left out Katoni Staggs.
Oh, dearie me.
So I'm going
and
with...
And is that is Burton right centre, left centre?
Left centre.
Left centre.
So I'll leave Crichton and To'o on the right, and I'll throw Burton with Addo Carr on the left.
Did Burton play left centre for the Panthers?
Yes.
Yes.
And is that your reason?
Yes. And he's got that combination already with Jerome Luai.
Okay.
And he plays, while they don't play together, they certainly play on that same side of the field with the Bulldogs. So Addo Carr and Burton. So I've thought little combos.
Okay.
So Staggs is unlucky. Yep. But it wouldn't worry me if Staggs was selected.
Went, yeah.
Look, I don't think there's too much between them. But
you got
I'll stick with Burton because of the fact that he was Dally M centre last year. I still think he's playing really good football and the combination he already has with those Penrith guys.
Does it matter he's not playing centre at the moment or
no.
you think he's good enough he can adjust like that?
No, he can adjust.
Okay.
There's been so many players in the past that have been
5'8"
that have gone
and
played in the centres or fullbacks playing in the centres. I think that he'd be able to handle it. Then, of course, you've got Luai and Cleary. Forwards, I've gone Campbell Gillard and Jake Trbojevic up front. And again, this is just to start with. Then you got Cook at hooker. I've gone the back row of Murray, Liam Martin, and Isaiah Yeo. And on the bench, Junior Paulo, Payne Haas. I've gone with Tarek Sims because he can play edge and middle. And then as my utility. Thought long and hard about this. Jack Whiten.
So the notable players missing out are Nicho Hynes and Katoni Staggs. They're the desperately unlucky players in
Staggs
the squad.
Staggs is very unlucky because he's playing some really good football. But I just had to find a position for Burton. I like him as a player. I think he'll handle Origin. He's played in a grand final. He's played in big games. He's got that combination with those Penrith guys. And I think that'd be the way I go. Look, you could argue whether Paulo or Payne Haas starts in front of Campbell Gillard. But I think Cam Murray plays back row. Liam Martin, you can't deny him a chance.
He's in great form.
And then you've got Martin, Cleary,
front rower?
To'o defending on the right. You've got Campbell Gillard and Trbojevic starting, and you've got Junior Paulo and Payne Haas coming off the interchange bench along with Tarek Sims.
Crichton doesn't make it.
So Crichton misses out. And then on the left side, you've got Cam Murray, Jerome Luai, Matt Burton, and Addo Carr. Left. Right, you've got the old Penrith combination. On the left, you've got Murray, Luai, Burton, Addo Carr.
And by the way, Dale Finucane is unavailable.
Yes, he's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he wasn't considered. But that's what I would go with. I think that you could, argue who the 14th player would be. You could argue Staggs being in the team, possibly Angus Crichton, but that's what I'd go with. And I've got how many Penrith players? It's at 6 Penrith players. You've got Tedesco at the back. You can't deny Addo Carr an opportunity. Murray and Martin in the back row. Isaiah Yeo picks himself. I think that'd be a very, very strong New South Wales side.
Tell us what you think. 1353 53. Send us a text 0419 767 272. Hey, Loz, do you think Matty Burton could make a good fullback? Cheers, Josh. Well, the thing is with Burton, he's one of those footballers who can make a fist of any position.
Yeah, I think he could play anywhere. I think he's a wonderful player. I think he'd play lock if you had to. As a centre, I think he showed last year what he can do, and he was excellent for Penrith all the way through that season. The fact that he's played with Luai, I think he's a... when you just know a guy that the better... better team he's in, the better he'll go. I think that's just Matt Burton. I think playing with all these guys, he's already got a combination there with some of them. I think he'd be brilliant at Origin.
We have Michael on the line. G'day, Michael.
G'day, Mido. Hey, boys. How you going?
Very well, mate. How are you?
Oh, mate, just lived out a dream for you and I, mate. I was at the FA Cup final.
Oh, of course. Yes. How was it? Take us through it.
It was awesome, mate. I didn't realise, but I had my ticket was with the Chelsea fans, unfortunately.
Oh.
But, mate, you know what? They were actual champs, mate. I stood up when the Reds were singing their song, and little did I know there was about another 20 of us there, which they told us to blend in, but I couldn't just blend in, mate. It's too long of a way to go and just blend in with the Blues and not be a Red, if you know what I mean. Mm. And I started singing the song, and one of the guys looked at me, and I thought, here we go. And I go, mate, I travelled all the way from Sydney for this, mate. You're not going to stop me. And, mate, you wouldn't believe it. They wrapped their arms around me, mate, and we stood in the top line. They all sang with me, "You'll Never Walk Alone." Mate, it was a beautiful experience, mate, I've got to say.
That's really good to hear, because I'm sure there are other fan bases you wouldn't get that sort of latitude with.
Well, yeah, absolutely, mate. Mate, I went to a Tottenham Hotspur game as well. I met this guy on the train asking for directions, and he ended up giving me his pass, his seat, and he sat somewhere else, and mate, I was right behind the goals. It was magnificent, I've got to say, mate.
Unreal. And that was a one-week trip, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an eight nights. But it was phenomenal. If you've never done it, just something you've got to do.
Yeah, experience. No, it's hairs on the back of your neck stuff over there. It's different level, isn't it, mate, going to those games?
I've got mates that I didn't realise, but they're going to Paris. They went to the last game yesterday at Anfield, and they're going to Paris for the Champions League, which would be another top thing to do. Mate, can I just mention something to Laurie?
Yes, mate.
Hey, Loz, I'm really excited about... I didn't realise Katoni Staggs was a Blue. I'm really excited about him playing with the Blues, mate, if he's selected. I just think he's made for... Origin, I really do.
Yeah, no, I think he's a wonderful player. I think he's a player that will be heavily discussed, and I think he'll get selected, actually. I think they will pick him. I've left him out because I wanted Matt Burton. I just had to find a position for Burton, and the fact that he played so well as a centre last year and he's already got that combination with a couple of those Penrith guys, I'd select Burton, but I've had no drama with Katoni Staggs. I think
He just plays with a lot of ferocity, doesn't he? He's a real break-the-line sort of player, and he's really built, isn't he? Like, he's a strong boy, so I just think he's made for it. Boys, that's all I wanted to say. I had the time of my life in London, and as you know, mate, you'll never walk alone, guys. Thanks for your time.
Good on you, Michael. Hopefully we're celebrating a seventh Champions League title this weekend as well.
I'm
appreciate
sure
the
we
call.
Will be.
Good on
sure
you, mate. We got Bass. Hello, Bass.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's happening, Bass?
Mate, I did ring up about Origin, but if I may, just quickly on a side note, I've heard of a lot of comments today about the Dane Gagai try and how referee's boss Annesley's come out and said it was a no try. If you cast your mind back 3 or 4 years, a lot of rugby league players were going down to the nail salon and getting pedicures because all it took was a fingernail on the ball and it was given a try. So... now the NRL says, and they used to go to the bunker, used to say, he got his hand back on the ball before it hit the ground, and now they're saying, if your hand comes away from the ball, it's a knock-on. So when you go, this is the rule, a couple of years later, let's change the rule, it's like an admission from the referees in the NRL that we got it wrong and we have no idea, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I every sort of couple of years, they tend to change sort of what it looks like, and you know, we come to terms with one rule and then we sort of look and it's changed again. But for me, what did you think, Bass? What did you think as a league lover when you watched that? Do you think try or no try?
I've seen worse given. Mm. You even brought up the one on the weekend too, Laurie, that you thought, considering what they've set down as the standard, it'd be given a no try. Regardless, I don't care which way they go, but set a standard and stick to it.
I agree.
Yeah, no, well, that's a fair point. We all get confused, but well, there's a story and an article yesterday about the bunker and what fans think of the bunker. Do you think we need to keep it in the game, or are you thinking we should just use it for you know, when tries are scored, or do you think we should just get rid of the bunker altogether?
I think the bunker has a place, but right now the bunker is actually running the game more so than the referee, and it's undermining the on-field referee. Yeah. I understand the bunker being used when the referee isn't sure about a try, but to be going back three and four plays and so on, and so if the referee's missed it, that's part and parcel for the course. Move on.
I totally agree. Did you see the one in the Parramatta Manly game where Moses got sin bin?
Yes, I did.
That was, what, two or three tackles later.
That's it. Play on. Bad luck.
You've missed it. That's exactly right. I got frustrated with that one. I just thought you can't do that.
Turn into rugby.
On Origin.
Yep.
Laurie, you came out and said there's certain players that will make the side and stuff. If you cast your mind back when Fittler got the job, he said, I'm throwing away the old handbook.
Yep.
If you're in form, you get picked. Fast forward 4 years. Brad Fittler cannot make the mistake of picking on incumbency because there are a couple of players, and as a Rooster supporter, I can tell you, Angus Crichton doesn't deserve to be there. Tarik Sims doesn't deserve to be there. What message are you sending to every other player in the NRL when they're in form and they're playing the best footy of their life and they're playing out of their skin, but they're saying, sorry, you're good, but we're going to stick to the ones that we gave a go to last year?
Yeah, no, I get all that, but who do you replace them with?
There's quite a few players that I'd replace them with. And, you know, with all due respect to Josh Adokar, mate, you need a winger there. If they pick Xavier Coates and Selwyn Cobbo, they're going to tower over To'o and Josh Adokar. And the high ball, we need some tall timber, at least one tall winger out there to be able to contest.
Yeah, I agree with everything you say with about, you know, the winger and, you know, the height and all that, but I still look at it and go, Adokar, for me, he's got other things in his game that will counter maybe if he's got a deficiency under a high ball. I haven't seen that, by the way, and I reckon any winger that's playing on Coates or Cobbo will be at a disadvantage with a ball in the air. Adokar, for me, is just a no-brainer. The back rowers are interesting because you've got, well, for me, I've got Cam Murray and Liam Martin in my back row. I had to come up with someone on the bench to play back row or could play in the middle, and that's why I've sort of gone with Tarik. And I've gone with Tarik off the back of last year. Yes, you could have put Crichton in there, but there's some other players that, you know, you might have question marks over. But I think that's the thing about selections. Everyone's got an opinion and everyone's entitled to their opinion. Yeah. But I think Freddie, I think the fact that if you've got players that are playing well that, played well last year, it's a no-brainer. You go with them again. But if you haven't got the players playing well from last year, but you haven't got standouts playing well to force you into that position to pick them, you tend to lean towards the incumbents.
I think the other thing, you've got to be careful when you say you're just going to pick on form, because let's say you play BBL and you're an opening batter and you're the leading run scorer. In the Australian team, you're not going to open the batting. You're going to bat at six or seven.
Yeah.
So you've got to pick people for their place, their position. Let's say Tommy T's fit. He hasn't had the best start to the season. So do you not pick him and pick a specialist centre? I don't think so. Tommy T's still, you know, top three players in the game.
Yep.
You're still finding room for him. So I think if that's what Freddie has said, he's just got to be a little bit careful of that, because in certain positions, even if your best player, you know, we spoke about Roosters fullback, you said
Tedesco.
At the start of the year, wasn't playing his best footy. It's still Tedesco. He's still your captain of New South Wales. Yeah. He's still your number one, even if, you know, there's better players playing better in club footy.
Football,
they're not taking Tedesco's spot in the first Origin.
No, well, it's like...
So I think you just got to be careful saying we're only going to pick on form, because that is not true.
Yeah, and some of the younger guys that may have been in the frame heading into this season, guys like Kalamatangi, you wouldn't have them in front of those more experienced players at the moment, because his form's dropped off a little bit, along with the rest of the South Sydney team.
You want everyone on notice to know you've got to be at your best to make New South Wales. That's what Freddie's doing. He's saying, mate, you perform, you show enough great performances, we'll find room for you.
Yeah.
But there would be, like you say, 100%, there's certain spots where that's your leadership, they're your senior players, they're the guys that have done it over a long period of time. You don't second guess that.
No. And, when they've done it for you previously.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that haven't played well at Origin level, but haven't let New South Wales or Queensland down when they get that opportunity. Mm. See, a Queenslander for me, Kalyn Ponga, all right? We've been critical of his performances for Newcastle.
In club footy, yeah.
In club football.
Got to pick him for Origin.
I could not leave him
every
out of my team.
Week. I agree.
Because every time I see him play for Queensland, I see how dangerous he is.
I agree.
Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Just written down Laurie's Origin team. I'll be getting around the hell probably somewhere tomorrow, I reckon.
What do you think?
No doubt.
No, good team. Good team. I like it.
Come
I like
on.
It a lot.
Is there a selection there you're like, come on, what are you thinking, Daly?
I would have Stags over Burton.
Yeah.
I think Stags is playing outstanding football. I think Matt Burton, I agree with everything Laurie says about playing in a better team, probably brings out the best of him, but the Bulldogs have been struggling. I know he's great at centre last year. I mean, he's got that Penrith connection, but I think you just can't leave out Katoni Stags the way he's playing at the moment. So, yeah, that'll definitely be one for mine. And I think that call between Jack White and Nicho Hynes on the bench is going to be fascinating. I think it's really a line ball call at the moment. I don't know if Freddie's really made up his mind which way he's going to go. I suppose the beauty with Jack White was is he covers sort of edge back row as well at a pinch if you need him to do that too, just given his body size. So that's going to be one of the most fascinating calls heading into the weekend.
Okay, racing news. Now, Hitotsu, really unfortunate news yesterday. Tell us what's happened and what the future is for Hitotsu.
Yeah, does he have a racetrack stricter, Jared? I'm not too sure. He's done a suspensory. Kieran Maher and David just announced that late yesterday, so he won't be seen at all in the Spring Carnival, either in Sydney or Melbourne later this year. Nice. And only probably a smallish chance to return to the racetrack in 2023. But it's a long rehabilitation for comeback from a suspensory injury. And what he did on the track in his three-year-old season, winning both the Victorian and Australian Derby, only Mahogany and Belspire have done that previously in the past. He potentially could have been an absolute freak of a horse, especially considering the preparations that Kieran and David gave him. It was a mile straight to 2,400 metres in the Derby up here in Sydney on a bog track, and he still managed to tough it out and win. And I would have loved to have seen him come back in the spring and maybe target a race like the Cox Plate and then come back in the autumn for a Queen Elizabeth, but unfortunately that doesn't look like it's going to be the case. They'll keep their... I suppose their options open with his rehab, but I wouldn't be surprised to have seen the last one on a racetrack.
What's happened to jockey Fred Kersley?
How about this story, Loz? We've been talking about dislocated shoulders with Tommy Turbo in the NRL on the weekend. Freddie Kersley actually dislocated his shoulder during the running of the Goodwood there on Saturday, riding the Astrologist, who ran second. His shoulder actually popped out in the final stage of the race. He managed to hang on somehow past the finishing line and obviously dismount the horse coming back to the parade ring. Took him about 15 or 20 minutes to put his shoulder back in once he got back into the jockey's room. And he's okay as it stands at the moment. So he's probably going to have a stint on the sidelines for, I'd imagine, about 5 or 6 weeks. Try and rehab it, build up those muscles around the shoulder. But that's just remarkable for him to actually have the shoulder pop out during the race, stay on horseback, get back to scale okay, and then get it back in the jockey's room.
Wow. Kemantari heading towards the Stradbroke.
Yeah, he is, Jared. 58 kilos top weight. Probably goes to show it's probably not a Stradbroke waist with a lot of quality at the top of the waist that Kevin Turner has to be the top weight. So he'll carry the 58 kilos. It's been probably more than 20. It's been about 20 years since a horse has carried 55.5 kilos or more to win the Stradbroke. So traditionally a race favours those horses sort of down in the weights, and Kevin Turner won't be done any favours with 58 kilos. But obviously those weights will be a little bit compressed. We're lacking a bit of quality at the top end of the scale there, and I'll see how he goes. But yeah, no 3-year-olds obviously pressing in with Marzu and Paul Ailey coming out of the gym with 10,000, probably leaves the racer a little bit skinny at this stage.
Mate, thanks so much. Have a good day.
See you, boys.